Romans chapter 3, before we get any crazier.
Is that possible?
Hold on, buddy, Rudd. I feel like maybe it's been so long since I've been in the pulpit, we ought to do some calisthenics. I want to do some push-ups and jumping jacks. All right, I just did. I did them so fast y'all missed them. I ran 3 laps around the building and y'all just now realized it. Romans, it is funny, Matt. It's pretty funny. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, we'll read down for a few verses and just see what the Bible says tonight. Steve, if you will, pray for us, please.
Lord, we should thank you tonight for another opportunity to come to your house. All your God, you meet with us most anywhere, but it's just something special when God's people gather at his church. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us around here at Living Waters. Oh, God, you've been so good to us. I want to thank you for all that you've done for us last year. I pray for this upcoming year, oh dear God, that it'll be our best. I pray for each of us that this will be our best year in you, dear Lord.
That's right.
God, we stand in awe tonight of simply just who you are. Oh, blessed Father, you're so wonderful. We thank you for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Your joy is unspeakable. Oh, blessed Father, your peace passes all understanding. I read one day what said your love surpasses all knowledge.
Right.
Oh God, our mind just can't understand these things, but we're so thankful for them. We thank you for your goodness. We're thankful for your mercy. Oh dear God, we're so thankful for your love. I pray for each person in here tonight, dear Lord. We all have needs. You know the needs of each family, each heart. I pray for everybody that's here. I pray for the meeting that's going on in Black Creek, Brother Zach and Brother John. Oh dear God, I pray that you bless it. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 10. Psalms 39:5 says this, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth. All right. And my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Every man, if you used to take time and just examine yourself, and you have good days and you have bad days, you have high times and low times, and you have pluses and minuses or pros and cons in your life. There's good things about you and there's not so good things about us. But the Bible says that man at his best state, you just do away with all those negatives and do away with all the cons and do away with all those down-sittings and you do away with all those bad things about you and you just take all the good that's about you. And God said that you're altogether vanity, even your best. Man at his best state. Man that while he's helping the brethren put a roof on his house, God said, in your best state, you're vanity. When you're helping some poor person, God said, when you're at your best, you're nothing but vanity. Now, if we look at you and see that, we think, man, that's a pretty good boy. That's a pretty good old gal. That's mighty kind of them. And that may just be so, because that is your best state. And it is a good state. And you see right now at this time of the year, the NFL football players and the basketball players, and they go to the children's hospitals, they go to the needy, and they start reaching out and they help people, but they flash their face on the TV and they expose their goodness to an entire world. Man at his best state is altogether vanity. Bible says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. We look at ourselves and we look at each other as righteous and we see good things about one another, and that may be so. But when God looks at us, ladies and gentlemen, he sees nothing righteous outside of Jesus Christ. Even in our best state, he sees nothing righteous about us. He's not our mama. Proverbs 4:14-12 says this: there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I mean, there's things that we think is good, and we see it to be right in our own eyes, but if it's not what the Bible says, it's not much good, ladies and gentlemen. The ways of man are sinful, and they'll only lead us to one place, and that place is called hell. There's only one way to everlasting joy. There's only one way to everlasting peace. There's only one way to everlasting life. And the Bible declares that Jesus Christ is that way. I'm just still talking about there's none righteous. No, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Verse 11 says this: there's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. I know a lot of people has had a lot of trouble with that verse. But can I be honest with you? No man sits up in his bed all of a sudden one day out of the blue and decides that he's going to seek after God. I've given the illustration or the example before that when I was a little boy and we would play down there in the woods and we would play down there in the creek and we would get down there in them clay banks and go in them caves. And I never one time, Michael, seen any of that clay jump up out of the bank and say, "Hey, take me home with you." No, sir. But I'll tell you what I did do. I went down there in that bank and I got to looking for some clay. And I'll be honest with you, Mr. Debney, I was the pursuer. And it's the same way with Jesus Christ. None of us jumped up one day and said, "Lord, take me with you. Lord, I want to go with you." I'm telling you, if God ever does move upon you, then, friend, you'll start seeking after God. The reason any of us ever do seek after God is because God put something in us to seek after Him. That's right. It's God. He said, "No man seeketh after Him." The only reason man ever does seek after God is because the Holy Ghost has started a conviction in that man's heart. Is that so? He come to convict the world of their sin. I'm telling you, you got to be under the Bible somewhere, somehow, whether it's in a Sunday school class or a Bible class or some kind of a teaching lesson somewhere, somehow. You've got to be under the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost will take that Word and He'll start a conviction in our heart. And through that conviction, God will begin to draw men to Him and then along. Don't just start to decide to do something. There's none good enough to do that. You're seeking after God is because God put you on His trail. If you're not seeking after God, here's a fearful thought. It's because the Holy Ghost ain't doing nothing in your heart and life. Isn't that sad? I mean, if a person ain't seeking after God, I believe it's because the Holy Ghost ain't convicting that person. If a person ain't seeking after God, man, it's because the Father ain't drawing that man. Ain't that a sad place to be? I'm glad God still draws even when you get saved. He'll draw you up real close. And we need Him to draw us. In John 12:32, the Bible says this: "If I be lifted up from earth, I'll draw all men unto me." If I be lifted up. The Lord said, if you just lift me up. Hey, can I be honest with you? He's been lifted up. Has Jesus not been lifted up? Even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we all know that Calvary is a matter of fact. We know that He was lifted on the cross. You know what that tells me? Every man on planet Earth has the ability to be drawn by God Almighty. This man is seeking God because Christ has been lifted up. That's why we seek after God, because Christ has been lifted up. He said, "I'll draw men to me." When that happens, man seeks for his own gratification. That's right. Men seek for their own gratification. When I say men, I mean mankind, male and female, boy and girl. Man seeks of his own gratification. Man seeks of his own contentment. Man seeks for his own self. Right? When he seeks after God, listen to me. And there's people that would argue with me till they turned blue in the face and died because they believe in their heart that they're seeking after God. And they may very well be, in that sense of the thought, be seeking after God. In the sense that it's self-gratification. In the sense that it's self-contentment. I'm going to tell you something. It ain't because the Father is necessarily drawn. And until the Father draws a man, he can say that he seeks. And he can pretend to seek. And he can try to satisfy himself all he wants to. You ain't getting to God till God does his work. Right. The negative part of all that would be a man that isn't seeking after God. That's the negative side of all that. Why is a man not seeking after God? That's a negative thought. That's a bad thought. The thought of being in a place where God has shut his eyes, ladies and gentlemen, is a fearful thing. Just think about God not drawing a man to him. Listen, what makes God not draw a man to him? I mean, to be in a place where God's not drawing you. To be in a place where God's not hearing you. To be in a place where God's not speaking to you. To be in a place where God is not seeing you. To be in a place where God has turned his back. That's a fearful, a dreadful place to be. I'll never forget going to church. Listen, I'll never forget going to church when I was a young man just to get my mom off my back. I was married. I wasn't in the house. I was living on my own with my wife. I wasn't going to church, and they was having revival, and she wouldn't shut up. Thank God. I ought to preach a message on she wouldn't shut up. Amen. Amen. Thank God every man in the house would shout amen on that one. She wouldn't shut up. Woo! Zach would anyway. I thought I was going to church, Steve, to get her off my back. Can I tell you whatever that was? Because I got saved that night. Can I tell you what that was? That was the work of God. What I thought was one thing, but what God had in store was a completely different. Right. Just glad she wouldn't shut up. You know what I think? I think everybody ought to go out tomorrow and find them a Calvinist. And tell him to take that heretic, that devil's field heretic, John Calvin, and tell him to put that heresy back into hell where it belongs, because my Bible says, amen. And if that Calvinist has got the right Bible, instead of digging through John Calvin's septic tank, well, that was nice. Instead of digging through John Calvin's septic tank, pick up the Word of God. And because the Bible said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. Man, you say, when they in the Greek, that don't mean what you said. I don't give a flip what it means in the Greek. I'm an English guy. In the English, that's exactly what it means. That if Jesus Christ goes to that cross and is lifted up on that cross, then God will do the work of drawing men to him. All men will be drawn to God. There ain't a person going to die and go to hell without God doing a work in their heart and life. Not one person will ever go to hell with their eyes closed. Every man goes to hell will go to hell with his eyes wide open. That's right. I believe, Miss Holly, that somewhere along the lines, what's that freak's name down there, Helter Skelter, Charles Manson. I believe Charles Manson was drawn unto God at some point in his life. He's a part of all men, or is he something different than a man? I believe he was drawn, Miss Stephanie. I believe Ted Bundy was drawn. I believe John Wayne Gacy was drawn. I believe every man sitting in the prison walls, every man sitting in the church walls, every man on planet Earth, man, woman, boy, or girl, is being drawn by God Almighty. And if they ain't, then God help their soul. Every man has a chance. Look at verse 12. Not stuck there, but verse 12 says, they're all gone out of the way. They're together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. And their throat is an open sepulchre. They've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Isn't it amazing at how much poison can come through these lips? Come on, spouses. Isn't it amazing how much poison can come out of the mouth of a spouse. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing at how many words can come out that's not words seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt? Isn't it amazing at how much poison can come out? That poison hurts the lives of others. It damages people around us. And sometimes it even has the potential to destroy people. The poison that pours out of our mouth. God said it ain't the poison that you're taking in. God said it's that poison that's coming out that's defiling you and everybody else. Pretty good, ain't it? Many times we can judge a man by what he says. Listen to a person. You know what they up to. You listen to them. That's right. They talk about what's in their heart and in their mind. So we can judge, we can pick a person apart sometimes by what they say. But you know what you can do, Steve? You can hush so people can't figure you out. It's hard to figure out a quiet person. You just have to take more time. Don't talk as much, but they know if they open that mouth, something will be coming out. But they don't want everybody to figure out about them. So they lock her up. And you might get me, and you might get your neighbor, but can I tell you something? There's a God in heaven that knows exactly what you're thinking. But the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Is that so? Right. Right. As a man thinketh. Out of the abundance of the heart, we know the mouth speaketh. But every once in a while, we're so deceitful, we're so wicked, we're so vile, that we can hide that by shutting our mouth. But you know what? We can fool everybody in the world. But there's a God in heaven that says, yeah, but I know what you're thinking. And your thinking is no good. Gracie said, no good. Donald Trump, no good. Hillary, no good. Proverbs 23:7 is the verse says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So is he. God's the one that tries them reins. God's the one that can read that heart, ladies and gentlemen. When that mouth is shut, God knows what's inside the heart of a man. He knows what's going on in that old noodle of his. God knows exactly what that man's all about. Let me tell you something. What you are to me ain't important. What you are to this world ain't very important. But I tell you, what you are to God means everything in eternity. Are you his? How's your relationship with his boy? Pretty good. Verse 14 through 16. Move it down through here. I ain't even trying to deal with these verses. I got one at the end. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness? Boy, if I don't nail my wife, I don't know what does. Their feet are swift to shed. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Isn't that something? Destruction and misery. Tough stuff, boy. You understand verse 16? Let me read it one time. Destruction and misery are in their ways. Verse 16 was my life verse, Eric, before I got saved. That was my life verse. I said, I'm a self-destruct in my own misery. That was my life verse. That was what I was bound and determined to do. That was the highway. That was the life I was living. Destruction and misery. Made that my life verse when I was a lost man. Thank God all things are passed away and all things made new. Glad. Can't you just see that prodigal son in some of this? Can't you see him fulfilling this verse? Destruction and misery? Can't you see him down there at the house going, boy, I'm getting away from mom and daddy. I'm getting out of these rules. I'm getting out of these standards. I'm getting out of that church they go to. I'm going to go out there and do my own thing. I'm going to live my own way. I'm going to make it, man. I'm going to be successful. I'm going to show them. And destruction and misery was in his way. Little did he know, huh? You know what he used for a pillow? You know what he used for a bed? He used misery for a pillow. He used destruction to lay upon. That's where he slept. That's where he lived. That's where he made his abode, in destruction and misery. Didn't think that. Didn't have a clue when he left daddy's house. Had it made in shame. Daddy paying the bills for God in heaven's sakes, man. Or to stay there as long as you can. Get a job and help him. That's right. Well, you understand that a lot of times the ways to our freedom, what we think is freedom, is the ways to bondage. Our freedom is bondage. I know people that wanted to get high. You know what they did? They became in bondage to what they wanted. Become slaves to it. They took that freedom. They took that liberty to do whatever they wanted. Then they were bound to that sin that they jumped in on. It's amazing. Destruction and misery are in the ways. How many people have we known that thought they were pursuing freedom through some kind of sin only to find themselves in bondage to it? How many teenage boys, how many teenage girls, how many young men, young women, how many married husbands, married wives, huh? It's amazing, isn't it? Sin never has, nor it ever will, satisfy the emptiness of a man's heart. Never. Never. Look at verse 17. The way of peace have they not known. Then verse number 18 is the one I was wanting to get to all along. He said, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Church, I don't know where I was at. I can't remember if I stopped and thought, I guess I could, but I can't remember. But somebody asked a question the other day, and I guess it was a pretty good question. It's fair enough to ask. Good, if it was on their minds, might as well ask it. They said, is it right to fear God? They said, should we fear God? Should we? Should we fear God? And as soon as they asked, I mean, it didn't take me an inkling of a second. Immediately my mind said, you better fear God. And then my mind started racing on how I could support that with the scriptures, because I know scripturally it's right. Man, fearing God. Think about fearing God. Think about fearing God and the fact that the reason people live in sin is because they do not fear God. The reason people splurge into sin, the reason people fulfill the lust of their flesh, the reason people go about caring about self more than they do the things of God, is because of the lack of fear of God. I like to think how much I talk about it. How much do I really fear God? I'm telling you, fearing God will make you live right. Fearing God will help you, man. I'm telling you. Better fear God. Let me say this. One of the reasons there's no fear of God anymore is because we've this little old imaginary God that does not even judge sin, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, is that not so? Somebody help me out. We've got an imaginary God today that don't even judge sin. You can just come and go and do as you please. It's a no judgment zone. Like we said the other day, it's a no judgment. Man, you do whatever you want to. Why would you fear God when there's no judgment there? And the reason there's so much sin, and the reason these lives are being lived in such a manner, is because there is no fear of God. Let's indulge in some fear. Fear is a wonderful thing when it comes to God. God just loves everything. And when we die, this is the world's God. When we die, God's just going to overlook all the stuff that's in our life. God's going to overlook all the works. God's going to overlook the rejection of His Son. God's going to overlook the fact that we didn't truly believe. God's going to overlook the fact that we didn't live holy. God's going to overlook the fact... I mean, why in the name of God would He tell us to come out from among them if He didn't care that we'd come out from among them? Why would he tell us to be holy if He didn't care for us to be holy? Why would He tell us that we must be born again if He didn't care? We got born again. He cares. This world's got a God, ladies and gentlemen, and it's being shoved down these children's throat. And to be honest with you, just living in this world and breathing this air, this stuff starts infiltrating your mind and you lose track of the reality of God. And if you ain't careful, you can do something yourself and do some kind of sin because you've done lost the fear of God. That's the world we live in. No fear. My God, they're so bold about it, the idiots has made t-shirts. No fear. What a grievous thing. Made bumper stickers. No fear. Let me tell you something, friend. When they stand before a holy God, when we stand before Jesus Christ, all of them eyes will be as a flame of fire. And it's going to pierce us with judgment, friend. I'll promise you, there'll be some fear on that day. Be some fear. No fear. Rip that junk off and say, I fear. I fear. Thank God the great apostle Paul, he said, for I fear. Some things that he was afraid of. Job had some things that he was afraid of. So, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. I'll tell you what, if you don't know what I'm talking about, just go by just about any funeral in the world today. Go by any old funeral. You got people that does dope their entire life. They lay around with women all their life. They stay drunk all their life. They live any old stinking way they want to, just as godless. Just as godless. Just as damnless as they want to. And I mean, son, they splurge. They're over their head in sin. And you can go to that reprobate's funeral. And that idiot preacher will stand up. And he'll start preaching them into heaven. You say, why would they do? There's no fear. There's no fear. There's no fear. You can't live that way and go to heaven. I don't care how many preachers stand up and put them people in heaven. You don't live in sin and die. You don't live like hell and die and go to heaven. You don't live like a sinner and die and go to heaven. I'm telling you what saved people do. They live godly in Christ Jesus. It's what we do. My boy's back there. He's around me like nobody else is around me. And he'll be honest with you and tell you, Dad has a good time in life. Man, we cut up, we play, we carry on. We have a good time, Miss Stephanie. Being a Christian ain't a drag. Being a Christian ain't a bore. Being a Christian ain't some dreadful thought. I'm telling you, thanks be unto God. It's a blessed life. It's a happy life. It's a fun life. It's a good life. Thanks be unto God. It's a restful life. Right. There's a lot of things we can't do. I'll be honest with you, from this side looking over there, I don't want to. Amen. I mean, when it's all said and done, I don't want to. You say, man, you don't want to party and you don't want to drink. Hey, friend, come over here and look for a little while. Find some old boys laying in a gutter. Look at what that booze has done in their life. I can honestly say, no, I don't want to be part of that. Thank God I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to be part of that. What in the world to get saved for? When the guy's saved, I won't be part of that. I hated that life. I hated it. Right. I hated that high life. Sin never will satisfy. Ladies and gentlemen, God's going to judge us stuff. This little old Satan has given us a God, and there's no reason to fear him. None. I talked about that little Jesus that the world's got and the Jesus, these images that of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something, buddy. You mark this down in your book. It's a fearful thing in my life to sin, Michael. I don't sin blinded. I sin with my eyes open. I know when I do things that it's wrong. I tell you what, they ain't never a thought in my mind. Never does it ever not cross my mind understanding God's going to get me. He's going to get you. He's going to get you. God will get you. Boy, there's plenty of scriptures in there about God's going to get you for that. Promise you that. The world's got us a little old Jesus that don't judge. Remember? Well, he's not sitting up there with a rod waiting to get it. No, he's not. But he will. Promise you that, he will. He's not looking to beat us upside the head. He's not looking to chasten us. He's not looking to take us behind the woodshed. But I'll promise you under God, he will in a flat heartbeat if you're his. If you're his. Thank God he does. Look at Psalms 36, please. No fear of God. I'm trying to focus on tonight. Fearing God. When I say fear, I want you to understand this. I'm not talking about that fear where you look in your Strong's Concordance and you get that definition that says respect. I'm not talking about that kind of fear where he says in the Strong's Concordance to reverence. I'm not talking about the kind of fear in the Strong's Concordance that says worship. I'm talking about the kind of fear that'll make you stand in your shoes and tremble. Scared. Like the boogeyman jumped out of the car. I'm talking about fear, son. I'm talking about being scared, being fearful of God. I'm scared, you hear me? I'm scared of God. Mess with God. I don't want to tempt him. Well, I've been reading the Bible and over there in the first five books, Michael, I've been reading it, man. I've been watching the children of Israel. My God, get out of line with God and God straightens that. It's unbelievable, church. I'm telling you, God don't play this stuff. But we've done away with that God. We've got us a little God. We don't even have to fear no more. Just go to church and live like, look like a bunch of hooligans out of a juke joint. Dance, shake our breasts, do every stinking wicked, vile, ungodly thing in the world. I'm going to tell you something, Miss Stephanie. If half that crowd ever could face God Almighty, they'd sit down and shut their mouth and put some clothes on and do some things. Amen. And knit some things up. Right? Fear. Fear. Psalms 36:1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. This means that if you leave here and go out to your world that you live in and you live in sin, then you don't fear God. That's what that means. If you can leave here, if you can go to the job, if you can run around your community, if you can be down at your house and you can live in sin, listen to me. They ain't no ifs, ands, and buts. There ain't no sugar coat. It's just yes or no, right or wrong, black or white. If you can do that, there's no fear of God in your eyes. You don't fear God. So, preacher, do you fear him? Most of the time. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't. You understand that over 154,000 people died in the last 24 hours. 154,000 people. Miss Stephanie, in the next 24 hours, there'll be another 154,000. Statistically, I'm speaking. There'll be in the next 24 hours, there'll be another 154,000. The next day, there'll be another 154,000. The next day, there'll be another 154,000. I mean, day in and day out, 24 hours after 24 hours, statistics show that there's 154,000 people die every 24 hours in the world we live in. I'm talking about fearing God. Steve, this is a sobering thought, but I was thinking about all them people that's dying. Me and you ain't nothing but another number in that crowd. One of these days, our number's going to be called. The thing that took me when I was thinking about all these people that was dying, Miss Stephanie, that most of them's dying without God. Most of them people are dying without God. The majority of them people are dying and going to hell without God. Some of them probably claim the name of Jesus, no doubt. It's a fearful thing, ladies and gentlemen, to enter into eternity without the fear of God. Do you understand? It's a fearful thing. You better snap out of your sleep. If you ain't fearing him the way you ought to, you better fear out of your snap out of your sleep and that little fantasy world, this false image of God, and realize that hell is a real place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. I wish to God that everybody sitting in this congregation that was lost could sit here trembling. But Miss Debbie, the sad truth is there's people sitting in this congregation that are going to bust hell wide open and they don't have an ounce of fear about it. It's a sad thought to me, church. It's a sobering thought. It breaks my heart to think that people's going to enter all, going to slip off into eternity or enter eternity without ever knowing anything about the fear of God. No fear of God before their eyes. Don't you worry about going to hell. Don't you worry about dying without God. Don't you worry about being one of the 154,000. What's keeping you from being in that number? What's keeping you from slipping off into eternity? What's keeping us? I'm telling you, friend, it's just God staying us. Be honest with you, if I wasn't saved, let me speak to you that ain't saved. Those of you that are not saved, if I didn't do another thing, I'd seek after God. If I didn't do another thing, I'd get after God with everything that I had. It's a place where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. It's a place of everlasting torment. It's a place of no escape. I know people, and I've heard it myself with my own ears. People said, yeah, but here's what I believe. I believe that God is, and this is the no fear of God. God, this is that little image that Satan has given us. This is another version of the God that Satan has pumped out into American culture, that we have a God now that doesn't really judge sin the way the Bible said that he judges sin, but God's going to bring them up out of hell after a while, after they've suffered, and God's going to say, well, they've had enough, they've paid for their sins, we're going to let them out now. That's a little philosophy in America. That's one of them devilish doctrines that we have to deal with. I wish to God somebody would find me a verse in the Bible besides over in the book of Revelation. There is going to be a chance, Eric. There is going to be a chance for sinners to get out of hell. I'll promise you they're partly right about that. But theologically and doctrinally, they're incorrect. Because there's coming a day over in the book of Revelation, Steve, Bible says, and there's a great white throne. Bible said that Jesus is going to, he's passed all judgment to the Son, and Jesus is going to be sitting on that great white throne. And all those that are in hell is going to be brought up out of hell, and they'll stand before him at the great white throne judgment. The Bible says that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Tell you what God's going to do. He'll bring that sinner up once and for all so that his son can take the books and open them. And take that other book, that book of life, and open it. He's going to judge people out of those books. And son, I tell you, if your name's not in that Lamb's book of life, you're going to be standing at that great white throne, and he's going to give his angels power over you. Listen to me. He's not going to politically correct place you in the lake of fire. God's not going to be sweet about it. Jesus is not going to be tender-hearted about it. There's no mercy in his judgment, just as well as there's no judgment in his mercy. I'm telling you, he's going to give his angels charge over you, and he's going to say, cast him, cast him, cast him into the lake of fire. Fearful thing. It's a fearful thing to enter off into eternity without God. It's a fearful thing. You can't even, Michael, you can't even take a verse and twist it and get out of the condemnation that God has for sin. You can't even twist one and get out of it. I tried to think of one, how to twist it. I couldn't come up with one. I tell you what I can do. I can come up with a multitude of verses that says your doom is sealed. multitude of them. Done for all eternity. No fear of God. Let me tell you something. I don't care what the devil, what this world, what our brains, anything else tells us. God's not going to bring a person out. You reject Jesus Christ, you die without God, you're going to spend eternity into the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And you're going to worm your way through there. Are you listening? I think about the people in hell, Miss Stephanie. I think about how they are like a bunch of worms just crawling and clawing and gnawing and just digging their way around. And man, they go from one area to another and they're never reaching the bottom and they're never able to escape. They're never able to reach a comfort level. Man, it's just misery and agony and outer darkness and it's a nightmare to live in eternity without God. And it never ends. It never ends. 10 million years from now, they'll still be falling. 10 billion years from now, they'll still be burning. 10 trillion years from now, they'll still be a gnawing and agonizing. They'll still be a falling in that pit of the damned, never to find relief, never to see the light of day, never to escape, never, never, never to enjoy a family again. Take their families with them. And have to bump into your family in hell. One of those places of reunion. To meet your children, to meet your mom, to meet your dad, to meet your brother, your son, your daughter, your sister. What a terrible thought. Die in this whole world without God. Look with me, if you will, at Ecclesiastes, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. This is one of the first things I thought of, church, right here. It's one of the very first things I thought of when I heard that question. Should we fear God? Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13 and 14, last two verses. The Bible says, this great wise man that God let pen these wonderful books into the scriptures, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What is the matter? What is the matter here? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What's the matter? The Bible. The matter is the Word of God. He said, let's hear what really is the whole point in this whole book. Let's get down to the nitty gritty. What's God narrowing this thing down to in His Word? Listen at what He says. What's God interested in? Fear God. First thing I thought of. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Number two, keep His commandments. See what God wants us to do, church. Number one, He wants us to fear Him. Number two, He wants us to keep His commandments. Pretty good. It's not a hard thing to do to walk in the Word, church. If the Word's walking in you. Huh? You get that Word walking in your heart. I'm talking about that lamb, Mary's little lamb, the Lamb of God. When He gets to skipping across the tissue of your heart, thank God. When He gets to stirring around in there, it's not too hard to walk with Him. If His Word's abide in you, it's not too hard to abide in Him. The matter is the conclusion of the Bible. Fear God and keep His commandments. Why would we do that? This is the whole duty of man. God didn't give us a lot to do. He didn't give us 13 things to do. The whole conclusion, the whole duty of us is to fear Him. Now that consists of a lot, keeping them commandments. There's a lot in there. But why would we do that? Because verse 14 says, for God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I'm going to tell you why we better fear Him. Because God's going to jerk the covers off and turn the lights on one day. He's going to jerk the covers off, and he's going to turn the lights on, and he's going to reveal what we really, really are. And I'll be honest with you, wouldn't it be a blessed thing if God was to whoop, jerk the covers off, flip the lights on, and there he found you, fearing him and walking in his word. That's what was revealed. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Instead of this little old fake Jesus that we've got, people that don't have any fear and people that live in sin, and when Jesus jerked the cover off, everybody can see their little filthy works. Wouldn't that be something? Gotta hurry. Luke 12, 1 through 5, let's go there. In the meantime, when they were gathered together in an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another. Wouldn't that be something if that's how we came to church today? That people wanted to get to God so bad that we actually had to step on each other to get in here. Wouldn't that be amazing? Be great, man. I'd love to see that one more time. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. I'm talking about fearing God. Neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. And that which ye have spoken... Hey, listen. I'm going to tell you something. That'll help you what you say when you realize God's going to jerk the covers off and he's going to let everybody know those little secret things that you had to say. Fearing church. I fear that. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I overcome every time. I tell you what, it's helped me a time or two. Shut my mouth. Not say some things. Help me a time or two. I know God's going to reveal that junk. That which ye have spoken in the ear closet. Wait a minute. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in light. And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. And after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him whom after you have killed hath the power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Tell you something, church. This thing is so flip-flop today, Steve, it's pathetic. We so scared of men. We so worried about what man can do unto us. We so worried about suffering the consequences of this old world and the people of this world. That thing's flip-flop. God is in his word saying, listen, don't fear that dude. The only thing he can do to you is kill you. After he kills you, there ain't nothing else he can do. It's over. He's done the ultimate. He's reached the peak. There's nothing else he can do. I tell you what you better do. You better fear God. Because even after you're dead, he can take your soul and cast it into hell. That's who you better fear. Don't worry about what man can do to you. I mean, the worst he can do, if you're saved, thanks be unto God, the worst he can do is kill you. But that's it. Wouldn't be so bad in this whole world if all you had to do was die. But I'm going to tell you something. After that, we're going to have to face God. What we did with Jesus is going to mean the world at that time. Amen. So, all right. Job 37 says this. Job 37 and several other places in your Bible says God is terrible in majesty. God's terrible. That doesn't mean he's a bad God. It doesn't mean that he's a hateful God. It doesn't mean that he's ill-willed. It just means it means exciting or fitting. God is exciting. That's what he means. Terrible. It means to exercise terror or dread. That's very fitting. Where it's needful. Where dread is necessary, that's very fitting of God. He's terrible in that sense. Word dreadful means this, and it's in your Bible. It means to be greatly feared. God is dreadful. He's a dreadful God. He's to be feared. He's to be held in awe. And He is to be respected. He is to be reverenced. He is to be worshipped. And He said, the Bible says that He's awful, huh? He's an awful God. That word awful means the power to inspire fear or reverence or wonder. It's pretty good. God is a terrible God, which means He's a God that ought to be feared in our life. I've got about 10 more minutes and I'll be done. But I had 3 sons that we raised, and none of them were afraid, Steve, ever, for me to come by and pat them on the back. None of them. Not a little bit least. They might have thought Daddy was sick. A little touched in the head. What's he doing? But they wasn't afraid for me to pat them on the back and tell them I'm a boy. I'm afraid of that. But when I said go back out of that bedroom and wait on me, did fear settle in that heart? You better believe it did. Son, you talking about some fear and trembling, not because I'm big and bad and tough, but because they knew judgment was fixing to fall. And they was fear. They were fearful of falling in the hands of a judging dad. There's no doubt. Matthew would get so scared his brother still makes fun of him. I don't blame him. Who likes a whipping? I don't like a whipping. I don't want to get whipped. Hey, Eric. I never did go to one of them bedrooms and spank one of them youngins. I never did. I go back there in that room and wait on me. I never one time, Miss Stephanie, and you know good and well, never one time walked back there in one of them rooms and spanked one of my children. Because the Bible didn't tell me to spank my children. I went back there in that room, and listen to me, I'm not big and bad. I went back there in that room and I beat the devil out of my youngins. You hear me? I beat them. That's what the Bible told me to do. I beat them. Yes, I beat the devil out of them. Hallelujah. Thank God, and they still got plenty of devil in them. I didn't hurt it. I didn't do too bad. All of them still alive and healthy as I am, or better. I get so mad about this stuff. I get so sick and tired of people saying, well, whippings don't work. I tell you, I whip them. It don't do no good. Look at me. You're a bald-faced liar. Let God be true and every man's a lie. Whipping does real good. Beating does real good. I'm going to tell you something. You ain't doing it right. If it ain't doing no good, you ain't doing it right, Mama. You ain't doing it right, Teddy. You ain't doing it right, Parent. If you ain't doing no good, you ain't doing it right. You let Will get a hold of that young. I promise you they'll tighten up. Amen to God. We come away, men whipping, singing. We and I see the blood. I'm not kidding. Man, it was something. I'm telling you, Mama, I ain't bragging on this. I was meaner than a striped tail, 19 striped tail snakes. There was 49 million things to do without PlayStation. Mean things. Miss Holly, I don't know if I ever did the same thing twice. I promise you, under God, whippings help me. You hear me? Whippings help me. Help me. Help me. They kept my soul out of hell. They beat the devil out of me. Keep my soul out of hell. 18 years old. Are you listening? 18 years old. 18 years old. Mama sitting over at the kitchen table. I was an idiot 18-year-old. She said, don't you go nowhere tonight. 18 years old. I done been out on my own and everything. I come back and said, don't you go nowhere tonight. I crawled out the window. An 18-year-old didn't have the liberty to go out the door. Might have went through the door, but I didn't go out the door. Snuck out that night. 18 years old. Come back about 2 o'clock in the morning, crawled off. in that window. It was pitch dark. Got up in my bed and bumped into my stepdaddy. And your mama tell you not to go nowhere? I said, huh? I said, nah, I don't know about that. Don't lie. You know good and well she told you, 18 years old, beat the devil out of me. Boy, when God called my name, I'm so glad I've been whipped. Amen. I'll never forget, Steve, and I'm not bragging about this stuff, church. I'm talking about authority, fearing God, and stuff like that. And using stuff that I hope is practical. Michael, I'm very ashamed of a lot of the things I did as a daddy and as a husband. I've made that known to my children and my wife. I've apologized for stuff. Stupid, an idiot, done some crazy things, and would still do some. Most of it's her fault. I ain't letting you off the hook. But you remember that time, baby, I was down there and got in. Boy, I was working like a dog. And I got in. I was down there in my basement. And my kids didn't know I was at home. And I was down there in the basement of my house, Michael. And I heard my boys come in. And one of them stood in the kitchen. The kitchen was right up above me where I was at. And I heard one of them youngins talking to their mama. Terrible. And it didn't take 2 or 3 minutes. It didn't take that long. I mean, immediately, it was so disrespectful. Bam, it was on. And they didn't know I was there. And boy, he was something else. King of the jungle, talking to his mama like that. Son, I come up them steps, and so help me God, you thought I was Casper, the unfriendly ghost. That dude's eyes got big, son. He turned colors and he backed up. Was like, oh. You say, what was it that was that? Fear. He knew the wrath. He knew the judgment. He knew daddy was about. And when he was born, notice how I did things. When he was born a white boy. So help me God, that day on the kitchen floor, he was somewhere around the color of her jacket. I grabbed him by the throat and tried to choke nearly the life out of him. You say, I wouldn't do that. I didn't ask you to do that. It's what I did. I said, I grabbed him and choked him nearly to death until he turned color. I said, you're not talking to your mama like that. I'm not going to talk like that to your mama in this house. Boy, I'm so glad the other day I got to hear him talk to his mama. He said, Mama, I love you. I'm glad it works, honey. I'm glad our children love us. Huh? I'm glad they can still call us. I'm glad we still got a good relationship. I may not have handled everything right, but we still love each other. We still got that closeness. Hallelujah. They still love us. I'm glad. Didn't make them hate us. Didn't make them run away from us. Hey, man. I'm telling you, friend, God will work. I'm just talking about the fear of God. God's going to get a hold of us one day. God's going to get a hold of this mess one day. And he's going to put the hammer down. He's not going to tolerate it forever. Better fear him. We better fear him. Would you believe today that my boy respects his mama? Sir, all of them do. All of them. I wouldn't advise you to handle them like that. But if what you're doing don't work, send them to my house. Man, it either work or it'll kill them. Fear of God's a good thing. I gotta quit. Look with me one more time, if you will, please. I got 7 minutes. James chapter 2. I don't really have 7 minutes. I'm just trying to be nice. Hebrews, James. Don't think that I'm being arrogant when I tell you about my children. But I wanted my children to have a fear for the authority in their life because I knew, ladies and gentlemen, if they didn't fear their mom and daddy, I knew they would never fear God. I knew they would never fear the policeman. I knew they would never fear their school teacher or principal. I knew that. You just have to instill that stuff. And I had some hard-headed, stubborn boys just like their daddy was. Boy, we went extreme. James chapter 2, verse 19 and 20 says this. Thou believest that there was one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Church, the devils believe and tremble. The devils are scared. They fear God. They fear God. That maniac over there in Gadara, church, listen, I'm trying to be done, but that maniac over there in Gadara, listen, them devils was fearful of him. There wasn't nobody wanting nothing to do with him. You understand, they was taking chains. They were taking chains and fetters, and they were chaining this man down, and that man would take them chains and break them loose and just run wild. And then people would run away from him. They were scared to death of that maniac. Pretty bad dude to go through and do some of the things that he did. He's a pretty bad dude. But would you believe that that legion said to Jesus Christ when he come walking up, they began to cry aloud and said, "Oh, Jesus, Son of David, have you come to torture us before our time?" They were scared to death of him. "Have you come to torture us before our time? Please, please, please." I'm going to tell you something, friend. Them devils was fearful of him. You better learn how to be fearful of the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn how to fear him. I can remember Steve being a boy, and we would go up there and play with some of our family, basketball and stuff like it. And it seemed like they always wanted to do them stupid seances. Remember that? I mean, them idiots wanted to go. I mean, there's live people over here. We got cousins. They all breathing, walking around, bouncing basketballs, Michael. And here's these idiots over here going, "Let's have a seance." Why? Why do you want to have a seance? I don't want no seance. I don't want nothing to do with them dead bodies. I don't want to call up no spirits. I don't want to see no ghosts. I don't want to walk up on the porch of a dark house after you told me some spooky story. Let me stay over here where the light is and play basketball. Let's just do that. And the devil said, "You know what? God's the one that's got the power. We fear him." If those devils fear the Lord, we ought to quadruply fear him. If they have enough sense to fear him like that and sit and tremble, when's the last time he was so real that you trembled over it? Some fear. That ain't real no more, Steve. God being that real is a thing of the past. Should we fear God when you stand before him and God says this? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. When we stand before him and he says, let's hear the conclusion. Did you fear me? Did you keep my commandments? Those that are redeemed will be able to say, "Yes, Lord, I feared you. Yes, Lord, I somewhat kept your commandments." But those that are lost will have to bow their heads and say, "Lord, no. No, I didn't fear you, nor did I keep your commandments." The difference, ladies and gentlemen, is heaven and hell for eternity. Heaven and hell. The difference here is life, joy, peace, all the fruit of the Spirit, or misery and destruction. The way of the transgressor is hard. You can't fool me. It's hard. It's no good. No peace is no good. No rest is no good. No joy is no good. I like happiness. There's nothing like joy. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that we have the ability, dear God, to be able to fear you. Lord, to stand in awe. I pray, blessed God, that you'd help this congregation. Lord, help this people come to a place, Lord, where we stand in fear before a holy God. Lord, I pray, blessed Lord, that you'd help us, dear God, not to adopt the mentality of this world, that everything's just going to be okay. It's going to get swept under a rug, that God doesn't mind. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to live godly in Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you'd help this church to grow in grace and knowledge and truth. Help us, Lord, to love one another and to bear one another's burdens. God, to help one another, to restore one another. Help us, oh God, to be that New Testament church that you desire for us to be. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd help us accomplish your will here on this earth, that you've accomplished for us there in heaven. Lord, we give you the praise and honor and glory for everything that you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.